Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We're here with our Christmas wish lists. All my friends in here together, we're celebrating with a good cup of eggnog and some nice holiday wishes for all of you out there. Tommy, you were able to make it. We're so glad to see you.
Hey, Logan, how you doing? I wish you had let me know about the eggnog ahead of time. Kind of missed that memo.
Let's see. Well, just don't let Emily know. I thought she's against that kind of stuff. Nigel, Andrew, y'all look all bundled up like two snug bugs in a rug.
Yeah, I'm following the logic that you guys said. Never turn on the heat and just keep adding layers.
Hey, man, you save money on that gas bill. Yeah. The key is you've got to get fat.
Getting fat's pretty expensive, too, though.
I mean, you would know.
Fat shame, Tommy, 2015.
Days left.
We got to get our money's worth on that.
I mean, then it becomes what? Fat shame Richard 2K16?
If you can believe in it. All right, but fair enough. We got to move on. Our Christmas wish list. These are our wishes for all the Power 5 conferences. What we'd like to see out of the conference to make the games more interesting, or to just make college football more enjoyable in the near future. Now, I've already got some listed up, so I'll go ahead and kick us off. And I'll start with everybody's favorite conference here, the ACC. So, my wish list for the ACC is for them to stop picking Power 5 conference games to play against other teams, because they're terrible at it. So, first off, over the past 10 years, they've had the second most games against Power 5 conference teams outside of their conference. Second most to the SEC, who has 177 total. The ACC has 161 total, and they've won 37% of those games. 60 wins, 101 losses. That's a pretty bad record. Now, if you look at the record this year alone, it's actually worse than the American against Power 5 conference teams. The American won 7 games and lost 13. The ACC won 7 and lost 14. And keep in mind, when you look at the American record, you have to count their games against the ACC. The ACC record doesn't count the games that they lost against the American. If you count their losses against the American, it becomes 7 wins, 18 losses, which it just sounds so much worse. And just to make a point, Andrew, I kind of figured you'd ask about this. A lot of these losses are actually coming out of the Coastal, which is surprising. You see 10 of the 14 losses were for Coastal teams. And part of that's probably unusual because a lot of it's Georgia Tech, and we don't see that out of them a lot, and Virginia Tech, and Virginia obviously struggled. But this is just a bad sign. So I don't know if it's that they need to schedule weaker teams or if they just need to be smart like the Big 12 and just stop scheduling teams in the Power 5 conferences outside their conference altogether. Either way, though, they need to start picking games that they can actually win. Otherwise, they're just going to look worse and worse as a conference. All right, y'all feel free to take it from there.
How many of those losses were blowouts that didn't involve Syracuse, Wake Forest, or Boston College?
That didn't involve Syracuse, Wake Forest, or Boston College?
Yes.
That would be...
And does the Georgia Tech, Notre Dame... Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, or any of those other Notre Dame games, what are they considered?
I actually did count the Notre Dame games because American also played Notre Dame 3 times. And again, only 3 of those losses were the blowouts with Syracuse, Wake, and Boston College, because 10 of those losses were in the Coastal, and none of those teams are in the Coastal. So,
But how many of those losses on the Coastal side were blowouts? Because Georgia Tech lost to Georgia 13 to fucking 7.
Okay, but does it make a difference? They lost.
No, but it's still a close game because you're sitting here parroting like, oh, they need to play teams that they could actually have a chance at winning. Losing close games shows that you're in the fucking game and you have a chance to win the game. Getting blown out is playing games you shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, but over a 10-year record, nobody's going to look at the game-to-game score. They're going to look at the fact that they won 37% of their games. That's not a lot of games.
Look at the game-to-game score. If you really want to dive deep into the data.
I can.
You're arguing for diving deep into the data in today's modern media. Nobody looks deep into the data except to make one crazy point on game day once, 1 week a year.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I can think of a few blowouts there with Virginia Tech and Virginia, but no, I can't think of all the blowouts. And also, do you count losses to really bad teams like North Carolina losing to South Carolina? It's really not the point. But anyway, it's just our wish list, man. You don't need to get so aggressive about it.
No, it's well, because it's the same bullshit narrative that gets parroted all the time. Oh, the Coastal sucks because they all beat up on each other.
It's okay. I'm not saying that the Coastal sucks because they beat up on each other. I'm just saying that if the ACC wants to gain more respect, they got to start playing games that they can win.
So we'll play the Incarnate Word. We'll play Tulane. We'll play SMU. We'll play these garbage teams, which doesn't gain you any respect.
It's what
playing shit teams and beating shit teams doesn't do anything for
you. It's what the Big 12 and the Big 10 do, and it seems to work fine for them.
Because that's the fucking narrative. You were going to talk about data. People making shit up instead of looking at it. Fucking Texas beat Oklahoma. Texas is garbage. But Oklahoma's in the playoffs.
It's an in-conference game, though. That's not really an out-of-conference game.
But it's still a P5 versus P5. I mean, you're going to sit here and you're buying into the bullshit narrative. When's the last Big 12 national title? Who was the last Big 12 team to win a national title? 2005, Texas?
Not sure what the Big 12...
Right. He is right, because after that, there was the SEC reign of dynasty and that's created all the modern dynasties.
Still won two out of the last three.
And nobody's going to care, because they're still going to look at that percentage and say, well, they're just top-heavy as all get-out. FSU and Clemson are really good.
And the Big Ten's not top-heavy? It's two fucking teams. It's Ohio State and Michigan State, and everyone else fucking sucks.
Hey, don't you shit on Iowa. They won all their games. I don't want to hear it. They won all their regular season games.
Just because everyone on that side.
Iowa, look what happened. They kept winning.
That's really the trick. Nigel, you just need to
watch yourself.
I mean, who's Iowa's best win? I'll give you it's Northwestern. Okay. Northwestern beat Stanford for their best win. So it shows you that Northwestern's best win is an out-of-conference win because their division is as garbage or worse than the Coastal.
Hey, but Northwestern did beat Duke in a pretty big win. Yeah.
And Duke 6-6. Does that count?
Duke 6-6? Wow.
Yeah.
They pretty much went to crap after that lateral play.
Yeah, like, that just destroyed their psyche and ruined everything.
Like, I know we let Notre Dame affect us during the Duke game, but Duke is pretty much the poster child for never letting it go.
I mean, did you see their helmets for the bowl game? They've completely lost it and given up.
But anyway, I don't know how our holiday wish list turned into all this weird.
So it's okay, Logan. I just went and pulled the soapboxes out from underneath everybody. You can get us back on track here now.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is I agree on your wish list that the Coastal does need, and the ACC in general, needs to win more out-of-conference games. Everyone says that about every conference. But the way that you came firing in about, oh, they need to play games they have a chance at winning. No, they've had a chance at winning a lot of these games. They've been in them. The Georgia Tech-Georgia series, we just haven't been able to make the plays to win the game. But we haven't been blown out except, what, 2012?
I'm on Logan's side, and this is why. And, Andrew, please don't bite my head off. I need it later tonight. So my thought process is that I don't think Logan's buying into the narrative. I think it's one thing like where you're coming from to identify an issue, but there's also I think the bigger issue here, and what Logan, I guess, is trying to get at, and Logan, definitely let me know if I'm completely misinterpreting what you're trying to say, is that, you know, he's basically saying these are the rules at play. These are what you're going to need to do according to the rules at play to do well in the general scheme of things. He's just saying that, unfortunately, the Big 12, for lack of a better reason, hasn't been – they got slapped on the wrist last year, but this year they didn't get slapped on the wrist as much because TCU and Baylor were right there once again, having played shitty out-of-conference schedules. I guess he's saying that if we balanced our schedule more, maybe not as getting completely rid of all the Power 5, but just balancing it a little bit more, he thinks that that would give us a better out-of-conference stance. And I agree with you. I would rather teams play each other Power 5 and that be carried more weight. But right now, the committee has not shown enough consistency with valuing those Power 5 wins across the board.
Yeah, they have, because Oklahoma beat Tennessee.
Well, no, I'm saying from the stance of, okay, so like look at, you know, and it's something we talked about previously. People will segment out even divisions within a conference. For us, the ACC Coastal, for the SEC East, people will even section out divisions within a conference to pick and choose what they value a little bit higher than any other, when in fact it should just be, I beat a Power 5 opponent, and that's all that should matter, not as much of who, how I beat them, is that I was willing to schedule all these Power 5 teams on my schedule compared to a Baylor who doesn't schedule any Power 5 teams outside of the conference play.
And yeah. I would disagree with that completely, because there's a big difference between scheduling a Kansas and scheduling a Clemson or Ohio State or something like that. Because you can schedule a Memphis or a Houston this year, and that's going to carry a heck of a lot more weight than a Kansas team.
But I would agree with you, but then I don't see that many teams outside of the Big 12 scheduling Kansas, because, like you were saying, Kansas doesn't have any weight to it. Nobody wants to put Kansas on their schedule, because if you try to put – think about it. If you're trying to sell to your fan base, oh, Alabama, like, we're going to play Kansas. They're like, no, because then we have to do a home-and-home series with Kansas, and they're like, why would we do that?
Well, I'm going to touch on this more, because I this is definitely a trend that is going to carry throughout my wish list. But kind of what I'm getting at is sort of what Nigel is getting at. If you look at a lot of the conferences that are considered top conferences now, they take advantage of the fact that they don't have to play top teams in other conferences. Heck, the Big 12, that stat that I brought up over the past 10 years, teams that have played the most games, Big 12 has only played 135 games in Power 5 conferences outside their own. They don't play teams outside of their own conference very much. And then when they do, they try and pick and choose teams that they think they can beat. And it doesn't hurt them in the long run, because, I don't know, I guess people look at them and go, oh, it's Oklahoma, they've got storied history. Oh, it's, you know, Texas and all that. A lot of the teams don't have storied history in the ACC. There's Florida State, and Miami's got some recent history. And you can make some arguments that some of the teams have had great coaches and great players, but there's not really a lot of history as being top programs that the ACC can fall back on. So if you want to make a narrative where the ACC gets a better perspective, they got to start by picking games that they can win. And as bad as it sounds, you got to start by just winning all your games and picking and getting better records, you know? And that, I think a lot of other conferences do the same thing, but they don't get crap for it because it's a lot of the lesser schools in those conferences. You know, Arkansas didn't plan to lose to Toledo when they put them on the fucking record. I guarantee that. But, you know, you see it all across the board. Anyway, like I said, I'm going to touch on it more because I definitely have some similar issues with the Big Ten. But I don't want us to spend all day on this. So if y'all got some comments.
What was the Atlantic's record against the Coastal this year?
I don't have it on me. Can you give it to me?
I'm trying. I want to say that it was something like the Coastal was 10-4. Because the thing about the Atlantic is the Atlantic is top heavy. It has the two best teams in the conference in Clemson and Florida State. But then the drop off from that to Louisville and NC State is awful.
Well, also,
and then you get the absolute bottom dwellers in the conference of Syracuse, Wake, and Boston College. You know, and but no one sits here and talks shit about the fact that the worst teams in the ACC are in the Atlantic.
All I'm going to say is that when you start trying to compare conferences and teams, there's a nice little website you guys should check out, and I'd highly encourage you. It's called www.myteamisbetterthanyourteam.com. And for those of you who haven't tried this, you can put any two teams in, and it will prove that whichever team you want is better than any other team. And I can currently prove right now that Air Force is better than Alabama, because Air Force beat Boise State. And Boise State beat Virginia, and Virginia beat Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech beat Florida State, Florida State beat Florida, Florida beat Mississippi, and Mississippi beat Alabama. Therefore, Air Force is better than Alabama. So when you're starting to argue about which teams are better than others, just realize that the transitive property is always in play.
So to utilize that transitive property, we're gonna apply it retroactively to last year. That means that Georgia Tech was your national champion because they beat Virginia Tech, who beat Ohio State.
Absolutely, and this site is so advanced, it can go into past years as well. So. It can even handle women's basketball, so you know it's on another level.
That is amazing. No, yeah, I think you're right. It's something like four losses for the Coastal against the Atlantic. But yeah, that's not what we're arguing, though. We're arguing Power 5. So anyway, we actually really shouldn't be arguing anything. We're talking about Christmas wish lists, but hey.
Yes.
Aunt Nigel, do you have something to say? Let's move on.
On my wish list? I think the SEC, for their wish list, definitely wants to not have a bowl performance like last year. I don't think it gets talked about that much, but they went 5-7. Last year in bowl season, this is the first time that they had gone under 500 in bowl season in quite a while. And I think that even though it won't get talked about as much going into bowl season because they're the vaunted SEC, I think that they need to have another good bowl. They need to have a bowl season that is that goes pretty well for them this year.
All right. Anybody else got something to say about the ACC?
I think the should start carrying its weight. I think that Louisville, NC State, Boston College, Wake, and Syracuse should stop being terrible and dragging the conference down.
I think the only real Christmas wish list for the ACC is Clemson wins it all, and then everything else is moot point because
then we have two out of the last three.
Right, and when you get to 7 years in a row, that's when nobody can say anything about you.
And the bottom feeders in your conference get to be think they're great and awesome because a different team won the national title and they actually somehow get a part of it.
They get to be
Kentucky being one of those bottom feeder teams.
Yeah.
Well, you get
that
to
was
be
actually my wish list that Clemson wins it all.
I mean, I think most ACC fans want the Tigers to win it. The only problem is I don't think we are really truly ready for how insufferable Clemson fans will be.
Oh God, yes. Don't they come? They come here next year, right?
Yeah, which they actually have a really bad voodoo about playing at Georgia Tech. They don't seem to win down here very often.
Yeah, but still, if they win and they have to come here next year,
They've had a rough go against us for whatever reason. Well, usually, I don't know. Last year, this year was bad. Just bad all over. All right, let's move on. We're already 20 minutes in. We've only talked about the ACC. Nigel, I know you've got notes, so I'm going to give you the next start. Let's go on to our least favorite conference, the SEC. Give me a wish list you got for that.
My wish list for them was better bowl performance, although I think if I had to add another wish list item for them, I would say the SEC East actually does pretty well. They have a couple of teams in the bowl season. I think they were one of the biggest contributors to them having a bad bowl season. I think, like Andrew was saying, that the bottom of the Atlantic needs to pick up its weight I think the East definitely needs to pick up its weight. So I think that's going to be something to look at, not only just the SEC record in the bowl season, but the SEC East bowl record.
I think that's the bigger picture, is the SEC really needs someone like Florida or Tennessee or Georgia to really step up and kind of take a stranglehold on the East like it had always been. I mean, if you look at the history of conferences in the SEC through the first, the first SEC title game was what, 1992? And every year from 92 through 2003, it was either Florida or Tennessee. There was absolutely no one else played in the SEC championship game from the East. And I think that's kind of, because you've seen it really recently in the West, where people talk about parity, but it still winds up being Alabama or LSU.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that they really want, is they want McElwain, they want Butch Jones, they want Kirby Smart, one of those to kind of take the reins and bring that division up to kind of match up and to put some more, you know, because, I mean, they've kind of got the same argument as the ACC Coastal does, where everyone thinks everyone sucks because most of the teams are closely matched.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the exact opposite of what Nigel said, but it's kind of similar to that situation. The SEC East just isn't as good as the SEC West, and it might be that they're closely matched, but their winning percentages also match up to that. Over the past 7 years this time, overall record in the West is 230-126, and the overall record in the East is 200-152. Granted, the only two teams with losing records are Kentucky in the East, 14-34. And in the West, actually, it was Arkansas, surprisingly, 21-28. Now, and then the East versus the West, the West won this year 12 of the 14 matchups, so they just tend to be overmatched. Now, I don't know. So my wish would be for the East to just get better, take advantage of these new coaches that are coming in and get better at playing. Let's see.
If you look at it, it's all cyclical, though, because you look in the late 90s, the East dominated. You had a lot of different teams. You had Ole Miss, or you had Mississippi State, you had Arkansas, you had some other teams come out of the West and make appearances in the title game, but you had, I believe, Steve Spurrier won 4 straight SEC titles when he was in Florida one time.
Yeah.
Am I making that up?
But I think this is the longest streak by one side of the conference, with Alabama having won the past title. This is the longest streak by one side of the conference in the history of the conference.
Yeah, that said, Florida does have more conference championship wins than Alabama over the record of the situation, but the East hasn't won a conference since 2008. So, it's been a long time now. And it seems, looking at the records, the only two teams that are winning, you know, significantly above 500 in their conference would be Georgia and Florida. The rest of the teams really struggle. And I didn't have enough time to look at exactly where they're losing all these games. It might be East versus West, or it might be out of conference, but they're really... Well, I don't know. Going off the stats earlier, it's probably not out of conference, but it seems like
we know one of the teams that's definitely been, two of the teams that you can point out specifically are easy. Kentucky's football team just hasn't been very good, and Tennessee, pretty much since Phil Fulmer left, has been a complete shit show.
Tennessee has been above 500. They're actually 25-24, which is slightly better than Vandy.
Compared to where they were, they haven't been, like Andrew said, one of those bell cows for the conference in general. You know, this year they obviously did way better. I think they ended up, 4-8-4? They did really well, but I think like Andrew's saying, if they get back to the Tennessee of old, winning 10, 11 games every year, I think that would do a lot more for the East. Because Tennessee, I mean, Butch Jones has been recruiting really well from what I've seen. Now, that gets to the whole discussion of recruiting class ranks, rankings in general, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they've been seeming to bring the talent on. Butch Jones has been doing really well coaching them up. I think they just need to take that next step.
Fair enough. Tommy, you got anything to say about the SEC?
For them, I think it's just avoid the trap games. You know, Tennessee needs to compete with Northwestern, Florida at Michigan. LSU needs to beat Texas Tech, you know, the kind of mismatched. but they need to win the games that are going to be close. Obviously, you can't just expect Auburn to beat Memphis. But the games where they should be matched up well, like Michigan and Florida and Northwestern Tennessee, they need to compete in that, if not win it outright.
No, you're right. Especially because, what, LSU is facing the worst run defense in the nation in Texas Tech?
Oh, God. That's not going to end well.
No, it won't. Texas Tech run defense is awful.
That'll be a fun game to watch if you're an LSU fan. All right. So, Andrew, I'll start off with you this time. Why don't you give us your Christmas wish list for the Pac-12?
I think the biggest thing in the Pac-12, the North really needs, and I don't personally agree with this, but it's what we've kind of become on the national level. They need Stanford to keep staying where they are and not lose a game to Northwestern, as well as they need Oregon to kind of rebound and get back to what Oregon was able to do to create those two solid, big-name, recognized programs in the North to allow them to get a benefit of the doubt with a loss or two losses in terms of the playoffs. And I think the South is kind of the same thing. They're really wanting USC to get back to what they were able to do. I'm not sure if they'll ever be completely back to what they were in the Pete Carroll era, but in order to get back as a national program, wins 10, 11 games a year, is in the national discussion, I think they'd be okay with a UCLA stepping out and doing it. I don't think they would be too upset just because the name recognition UCLA has. But the thing about the South this year is kind of the same thing with the ACC Coastal. You had a lot of parity. You had a lot of close games between teams that would kind of beat each other up. And, again, to me, parity doesn't scream circle of suck. It screams evenly matched teams, which is a great thing in my mind. But I'm not the national news media or any of those morons, so... that's my thoughts on it.
Tommy, I know you had some strong thoughts on that before we started up the cast. Do you want to tell us what your wish list for the Pac-12 is?
I have two wish lists for the Pac-12. The first one would be score 35 points in the first quarter like Utah did for all their bowl games. It's pretty hard to lose when you put 35 points up in your first quarter, even when you don't score another point the entire game like Utah did and they still won. The other one would be for the state of Washington to step up and win both their bowl games, because when was the last time both Wazoo and Washington were in a bowl game? I don't even think there is a stat for that. And I think that's distinctly possible because both teams have quarterbacks that have been putting up some pretty solid numbers. Each one has thrown for over 4,000 yards this year, and they both actually have thrown for 36 touchdowns as well. So I would just say state of Washington winning, and if every team puts up 35 points in the first quarter, they'll be pretty solid this bowl season.
I like that wish for Washington. I think both those teams are on the up and up, and I hope they get better because I've liked those programs for a while. They have actually both been in a bowl season together. Andrew, say something.
I believe the Washington State starter is actually the backup. I think Luke Falk's still hurt. In terms of the Huskies, I definitely think that's a team to watch going to the future. They were really young on offense this year, quarterback and running back in some other positions. They've been very solid on defense. I think Peterson's really going to kind of get them rolling. And if not next year, then the year after, I think they've got a chance to be a legitimate competitor
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Gaskin is still a sophomore at Washington, and he was a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
He's a freshman.
Freshman. So they've got their running back coming back.
He's also a freshman. Yeah, this thing is wild. I mean, Washington was very young on offense across the board and didn't play awfully, so that's definitely something that sets them up well for the future.
Nigel, you look like a wise man over there. What do you have something for the Pac-12?
My wish for them going into next year is QBs. They have some good ones. Obviously, we saw Rosen at UCLA. I think he had an amazing freshman year. I think his continued development is going to be important for the conference. As Andrew said, Falk, even though he was hurt, just a quality QB in Mike Leach's system, he's going to put up numbers. Hopefully he can start getting some recognition here. I think them winning more will definitely help. For some reason, Solomon at Arizona just doesn't get the amount of attention you would think he would with the numbers that he puts up now in 2 years, Arizona, in a Rich Rod system. I just don't know why he's not getting the attention, that I think he definitely deserves. But QB, I just think they need more. USC is going to be replacing their QB. Oregon is definitely replacing their QB. Trying to think who else that I was thinking about immediately. Arizona State's going to be replacing theirs. So hopefully just more QB production. It was the year of the running back this year, but I think, it's still a QB-driven game, and I think that's going to be the story for them next year is how good their QB play is.
Yeah. I think that'll be something exciting to watch for. That's something I've always respected out of the Pac-12 and the West in general is they have some of the best QBs to watch. I just like their football team. I've always liked the Pac-12, so don't take what I'm about to say too harshly. What my wish for the Pac-12 isn't something that's really quantifiable, but I want to see them not lose when their teams enter the top 25. Because it seemed like week to week, we always saw a team losing out of the Pac-12 that was in the top 25. They only had 2 weeks where a top 25 team in the Pac-12 didn't lose a game. And, I mean, a lot of it, again, comes down to the fact that there is parity and that there is a lot of talent in the Pac-12. But you'd also see unusual losses outside the conference and losses to teams like Arizona State, that kind of came out of nowhere, and maybe it was because they weren't expecting it or they weren't playing up to that level. But it's another thing where you've got teams that are constantly in the top 10, like UCLA and Utah, and they go on a big run, but then they lose to an unranked team all of a sudden, and you're just kind of like, well, what happened there? We thought they were the best team possibly in the country, and they just lost. So it's one of those things where I don't know if there's a quantifiable way to stop doing that. But I think it would do well for the conference moving forward if those teams could continue to win, stay in the top. Okay, I was expecting more feedback from that. But anyway,
I mean, we kind of keep hitting on the same idea for a lot of these conferences where you talk about you need to win more of your out-of-conference games and try not to drop games that you're favoring. And it seems to be a very common point even in the SEC West where you had a team like Arkansas losing to Toledo and Ole Miss losing to Memphis, where even those teams you can step back and say, you need to try to win as many of your out-of-conference games you can, and especially you need to win the ones where you're obviously going to be favored.
No, I definitely agree. I think the thing with the Pac-12, and, I mean, I had issue with it, is their conference schedule. I just don't like it. I think they're, what, at a 9-game conference schedule? If I'm wrong, I think that when you play that 9-game conference schedule, you're beating up on each other more. If somebody doesn't take the, you know, take the, you know, initiative and actually dominate. I think that was Stanford's issue. I think if Stanford had played maybe some cupcake game along the way, maybe they would have ended up with one less loss because they would have had some kind of a break or something in their, in their, and you know, in their schedule. I just, I don't get the 9-game conference schedule. I understand what they're trying to do. I just don't like it. I think it actually works against them.
Yeah, that's something that they're going to struggle with. But like Andrew pointed out, that's something that a lot of conferences struggle with. Let's move on. Tommy, I'll let you start off this time. Big Ten, you got that smug look on your face. What do you got to say about the Big Ten?
Well, the Big Ten, I don't think at this point really has too many Christmas wish lists because they're in a good position. Their conference seems to be moving in the right direction. You know, they had a one-loss Iowa, or an undefeated Iowa that lost in the Big Ten title game to a one-loss Michigan State team. You know, Harbaugh seemed to do some good things at Michigan. Ohio State is obviously still playing very well. So I would say that they're in a pretty good position. The only Christmas wish list I could possibly have for the Big Ten is that Penn State wins their bowl game. And that's more for personal reasons. But
that's fair. I like that thought process. I can only hope and pray that Penn State wins their game. And for anybody who doesn't know, Penn State's playing UGA this year for the bowl game. So I can only hope and pray. For the Big Ten, I'm going to go ahead and get into it. My wish list for the Big Ten next year, or just down the line, because I know it's kind of hard to deal with this year, they need to schedule against more out-of-conference top 25 teams. And I know a lot of that is out of your control. But for the Big Ten this year, they played four top 25 teams in the first 4 weeks that were out of conference. But one of those I think was an accident because I don't think Michigan expected BYU to be ranked. The other three were Michigan State versus Oregon, which was definitely intentional, Wisconsin versus Alabama, and TCU versus Minnesota, which I think for TCU was probably more putting Minnesota on their schedule. And Wisconsin-Alabama, I'll give them that one. After that, every ranked team that the Big Ten played was in the Big Ten. So that's another one of those things that we were talking about earlier. Big Ten took advantage of the way they were able to schedule those games to kind of make it look better for themselves. And I know we were talking about Ohio State all the way. A lot of the reasons that they looked so good coming into the season was because they really didn't have too many games left to play. At the end of the year, they had to beat Michigan and Michigan State, and everybody else was, you know, a gimme game. But you saw how that turned out. They actually had to play a lot closer to a lot of those teams than you expected. And then, of course, just going back to the earlier stat, the Big Ten has only won 40% of their out-of-conference games in the past 10 years. 60 wins, 90 losses. So I just think the Big Ten, if they want to excite me, they got to start doing better with their scheduling. And Andrew, I can tell you fluffed up your hair there.
So Iowa's crossover rivals from the East were Indiana and Maryland, who finished third from last and next to last in the East. They didn't play Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State. They played Michigan State in the championship game. And we all saw how that game went. So I am channeling my inner couple weeks ago, Nigel. I'm not sold on Iowa as that great of a team. I think they benefited from playing on a weak side of the Pac-10. Or the Pac-10, wow. The Big Ten. And I honestly think that Stanford is going to beat the ever-living fire out of them in the Rose Bowl. And to get back to our discussion about out-of-conference scheduling, the one thing we didn't really touch on is I think one of the reasons that the ACC and the SEC play so many more out-of-conference Power Fives than everyone else is because you have these built-in rivalries between those two conferences. You have the Georgia-Georgia Tech, the Florida-Florida State, the Kentucky-Louisville, the Clemson-South Carolina. You've got some other, you know, Georgia-Clemson, Georgia Tech-Auburn. You know, Wake Forest likes to play Vanderbilt. You've got some of these already built, you know, North Carolina-South Carolina. You've got a stronger chance to have these P5 games because there's so many more teams that may have some of those ties already from having played a lot in the past.
And I think the Big Ten is definitely one of those conferences where they don't kind of have those ties. There are a few schools that clearly have traditional ties, but a lot of them just don't play big teams out of conference. And you know, like you said, that might be also something that the ACC has made them look weaker just because they have to play those kind of games every year. But it's interesting. Nigel, is your head still attached?
Yeah, this is sneezing. I'm good. My wish for the Big Ten, I think it really does kind of, you know, hit where Andrew did. I know that everything is cyclical. There are always going to be up and downs to every conference, but I would like some reshifting. I don't know particularly how the Big Ten aligned the schools that they have where they have in terms of their conference. Obviously, you know, you're going to have Maryland and other schools like that are closer to the East Coast, maybe on a certain side with, like, you know, other schools close to them. But I would like some realignment. I think with Ohio State having Urban Meyer, I think with Mike D'Antoni, I don't think Mike D'Antoni's going anywhere, by the way. I don't think there's a job that he wants besides the Michigan State job. So I think with him, that longevity there, and then, you know, Harbaugh at Michigan, that's his alma mater. I think a lot of these guys are going to be stuck where they are for the time being. I would love some reshifting, just like to, I guess, address the Andrew situation. Make some of these teams have to face each other. Iowa pretty much skated through the whole season, having not played the other top three teams in that conference till the championship game. And I think if you put a Michigan or Penn State or just somebody else on the other side with them, I think it would have made it way more interesting for the conference in general. And I think it would have made the conference championship very interesting because if you have, you know, right now you have Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, four very traditional powers on one side. And then on the other side, I mean, you have children in the poor in Iowa. I would love, this conference has the potential to be really eye-opening, have really eye-opening conference championships, and I think they're robbing themselves of this opportunity by putting those four powers on one side of the conference and then putting Iowa and everybody else on the other side.
They actually re-divisioned, realigned, when Maryland and Rutgers joined, they realigned into their current East-West format, and they really have done a good job of doing it geographically. And I believe the only protected rivalry is Indiana-Purdue, because every other team's big rivalries are already existent in their division. And you kind of expected it when they released the divisions, because you saw that it was going to be Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State. Now, you expected more out of Nebraska. You kind of expected them to come in and do some things. You know, Wisconsin was, I mean, they put together a quiet 9-3 season, but it really wasn't the Wisconsin we had seen in the past with the Melvin Gordon and the running the ball as well as they've done. You know, and you saw a 10-2 Northwestern team that a lot of people didn't really expect, which I think is really good for them. And I think underlies, again, we get back to this argument of, how is a 10-2 Northwestern worse than if you had a 10-2 Nebraska? Well, it's worse because it says Northwestern on the jersey instead of Nebraska. And I think that's the thing. Like I said, I think it's the same thing you run into in the Coastal. The ACC did the Coastal Atlantic split the way they did because they wanted to set up for a Miami-Florida State championship game that still hasn't actually happened, by the way.
Yeah.
And so you have these quality teams in the Coastal, Virginia Tech, Miami, Georgia Tech, North Carolina this year, you know, Pitt, I think, is a team to watch. They did just lose their offensive coordinator. But I think you see these teams and you made the argument of you do need some consistency, and I don't agree with it, but I think that's really a thing that the narrative wants is you want that team like an Alabama in the West that wins it.
Yeah.
3 out of 4 years, 3 out of 5 years.
You know, and
you've actually – the funny thing about it is you've had that in the Coastal. Up until Duke in 2013, it was either Virginia Tech or Georgia Tech every single year. This last year was North Carolina's first year to win it.
How is it that
you've had Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and then Duke once and Carolina once.
How is it that every time we end up talking about other conferences?
You had a little more shakeup on the Coastal side of it, where we had Boston College playing a couple. And I think that's it, actually. I don't think anyone else from that side has made it outside of Boston College, Clemson, and Florida State.
But you're right. People are creatures of habit. They like something they can set their clock to.
Wake did make it once, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yes, they did.
That one time that North Carolina turned their back and Wake escaped out of their cage.
That game.
Did you not go with us to that game, Nigel?
I didn't, but I saw it on TV, and I felt like gouging my eyes out.
Oh, my God. It was 9-6. It rained the entire time. I got really, really drunk.
Like, people apparently, like, yeah, it was awful from what I had heard.
And we lost to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Hey, so clearly they deserved to be there. They beat us. I'd like to get back on to the other conferences. We've got one left. Big 12. I really got nothing to say here, so I'm going to turn it over to my three wise men while I go take a piss.
I'll start this one off because mine's actually not a wish list for the Big 12. My Christmas wish list is for all of college football. And my one wish is to change the narrative of everything, because I think people forget the fact that for all the money and everything, it is still an amateur sport, albeit asterisk next to amateur. It's not – you don't have the parity and the big money that the NFL does, and you don't have the money that's contained to an owner. You have third-party money that's kind of guiding some of the smart and or dumb decisions that different programs are making. But my thing is change the narrative and go back to what it used to be. I would rather get rid of the college football playoff, get rid of the national title game. And I think the best thing for the sport would be have the bowl games, let the bowls choose who they want to pick, but not have a national title. Let the 4 or 5 different polls that come out at the end of the year spark the debate, which I'm sure ESPN would love the airtime and the amount of debate that goes around it. But just kind of get back to the fun of the game and get out of this, oh, this conference sucks and this conference is awesome and, oh, this conference is being held down and, oh, you're not really good. You just have other teams that make you look good and yada, yada, yada. And it's the name on your jersey that means anything. Because the fact of the matter is, unless you get back to that state and get back to the fun of it and people focus on that, you're going to end up turning into the NFL. And that's just going to kill the game, because this number of programs won't be able to keep up, because the more and more we get to this playoff system and everything, the programs that don't have the money and the alumni resources aren't going to be able to keep up, and we're just going to devolve more and more. And I feel like the parity isn't going to be there long term.
The thing to me, and you've already started to see this with the Power Five asking for autonomy on some decisions, I bet within the next couple of years, what you'll probably see is either we'll have another split where you create almost like a level between FCS and FBS, or you'll have a split where a bunch of teams just say, to hell that we're going to go back and play down at the FCS level because the money is just not there. Because the thing you realize about college football is you don't have revenue sharing on the level that you have in the NFL. Sure. You know, the NFL has the one TV contract through the NFL, and each team gets X amount of dollars through that whatever TV contract. When in college football, each conference has their own contract that has their own negotiated amounts that impacts the amounts that each school gets. And that is what it is. You know, the idea of that much parity in college football as it exists today is going to go away. You're going to see the rich keep getting richer, the big programs keep, you know, when you see some of the revenue disparities, even within conferences, you know, when you look at some of the, you know, look at the revenue disparity in the SEC between, say, Alabama and Mississippi State, or Alabama and Missouri. You know, these two teams are competing in the same conference, but you've got one team bringing in $90 million a year and another team bringing in 20. You know, you can't, you're not going to have parity. And one of the biggest things the NCAA ever did to increase parity was when they put in the 85 scholarship limit, because that forced it to where schools can only take X number of kids. So the kids have to go play somewhere. So they started to trickle down to a lot of the schools that wouldn't necessarily have recruited that well, and you've started to see some of this talent. If you really wanted to try to push parity even more, that would be the way you do it, in my opinion, is you drop down to, say, an 80 scholarship limit and a 20 per year signing. So you continue to decrease the amount that each team can take, which would push more the, you know, you wouldn't be able to hoard as much. You probably would see the elimination of teams recruiting players, not because they think they can play for them, but because they don't want to play against them. But you know, then you start getting in the argument against that is, why are you going to restrict the number of kids trying to get an education?
And then you start getting into the argument of, well, I only have 80 guys, and you're saying a quarter of them a year have to be redshirted if I want to develop them properly, rather than, so the 5-year rule. And I think when you start looking into the parity and everything, I think you're going down a deep rabbit hole that maybe would be good for us to talk about. But I just wanted to say that I really feel that college football as a whole is trying to move towards something that it's not, and that the pageantry and the crazy fandom and everything are best served when there is more debate out there, and there's a reason it's the bowl subdivision, not the championship subdivision. So my Christmas wish is, get rid of the playoff, or if you're going to do it hardcore and 128 single elimination playoff from week one, no regular season. So one way or the other.
Yeah, I think I like Tommy's pointed out that I think college football has become something that no one ever expected it to be, which is how merchandised and everything it is. So as far as how you would get there, though, that's the nice thing about a wish. You don't have to worry about the how or why. It's just a wish. And I do agree. I think that would be very entertaining, Tommy. Nigel, oh my gosh. Wrap us up like you are.
Well, I mean, I thought we were going to talk about the Big 12. You know, all I want is NCAA football back, man. That's all I want. That's all I really want. Can I get that? Can I get that for Christmas? One copy made for just me. Everyone's going to come to my house to play it.
I'd be okay with that. I would be just fine with that. I just want one copy to sneak out there. I like how none of our wishes for the Big 12 have anything to do with the Big 12. Andrew, what's your wish?
I think the Big 12 kind of got its wish this year. I think the fact that their one-loss team was Texas instead of Baylor or TCU. Damn it, what is my computer? I think that's the biggest, is because it's Oklahoma, they had a better shot of getting into the playoff as a one-loss team because the front of their jersey says Oklahoma.
Fair enough. I think my wish for the Big 12 would be that Texas gets better, but that's basically just because I couldn't think of anything for the Big 12. The Big 12, I think the thing that I noticed about them was the whole first half of the year before they really had Oklahoma in the running. All the discussion was why is Texas so bad? What can they do to get better? Yada, yada, yada. Because that was the narrative for the Big 12, is why this was basically the school that founded the Big 12, and they're terrible. I don't know. I think they just need to get better. But it's like Andrew will point out, it's a cyclical thing. It gets better with time.
Well, I mean, they also – Texas kind of got its wish. They got an offensive coordinator who's going to bring some – hopefully bring some excitement to their offense, and they'll, you know, stop being as fucking stale as they are, because that's kind of what the Big 12 has become. And Texas was there, but they haven't been there in a while, where they had an offense that could rival the other people in the Big 12 in terms of being exciting, being flashy, because that's what the kids in that area were going for now.
At least they're not A&M stale.
True.
All right, guys. Well, I think
the thing about A&M, though, is if you think about it, A&M's never really been that good. You know, they were never really a national power. They don't have a national title since the 1930s. You know, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, a fan base with some delusions of grandeur. You know, I mean, that's A&M.
Hey, just like
careful insulting a cult, man. You don't know what they're capable of.
Hey, I mean, that is very true. There's some crazy stuff. I just want to do a quick update to our bowl pick'em. 7 games have been played so far, and the records as they stand is I am 2-1, Logan is 1-2, and Nigel is 0-1.
Only 0-1!
Western Kentucky did come back to win, Logan.
They didn't have to come back. They had it the whole time. It was glorious.
So as a collective, we are 3-4.
Nice.
That's not
3-5. No, 3-4. Yeah, I can't do math.
That's mainly because I'm involved. Also, do y'all want to do any quick call outs and shout outs? Okay, I've got
the running back at Louisiana Tech that broke Keenan Reynolds' career touchdown record.
It won't last.
No, I mean, depending on what, I don't know. Pitt's a pretty good team on defense, but hopefully Navy can score some points in their home stadium.
Okay, I got 2 quick shout-outs. Congratulations to App State for winning their first bowl game. Good for you guys. Even though you had to beat my Ohio Bobcats, I'm still a little pissed about that. And second, I want to give a shout-out to A.J. McCarron. That was first Alabama quarterback to win in the NFL since, what, the 80s? Oh, my God. Good on you, bro. And he's taking the job from that ginger devil. I am so happy.
Shout out to the Arizona Cardinals, who wrapped up the NFC West, but unfortunately lost the Honey Badger to a season-ending ACL injury.
Don't need no stinking ACLs.
I want to give a call out to Texas A&M. All their fans are ridiculous, but that's just like every other fan in the SEC, so you can't really blame them too much.
I think we should take Tommy's warning and be careful of what we say.
I'm the man.
Another call out to Odell Beckham Jr., who's been suspended a game by the NFL for being a complete and utter moron. Yeah. Like, he's shown that you can get in his head and get him off his game. I mean, that's the biggest thing there, is he's shown that he, you know, Josh Norman was able to get him off his game to the point that he was trying to injure people. I mean, of course, the officials should have thrown them both out much earlier in the game, yeah. And they really let it get away from them. But
so about college football.
Actually, no. All right, I got one more call out that is college football related. I'm going to call out the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. There are so many bowl games this year. You should have made it into a bowl game as a 3-win team. You are pathetic, guys. Hey.
We were the best 3-win team in the country, according to multiple different metrics.
Mainly the one where you call us the best 3-win team in the country.
Including my own metric.
All right, that's all I got. I'm going to wrap it up. Guys, thanks for joining us. All our listeners, thank you for listening to all our bullshit. We love you. Have a good holiday season, and we'll join us next week. We talk about the playoff picks. Until then... Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.